You guys over here can't see it, but when we get out from behind the table over there, it's like a little German clock. It's like everybody goes like this. It's really cool. Thank you, Joan, and thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Dawn, and Heather, and Adam, and Newman. It's wonderful to read with you guys. I'm going to read a couple poems from this little chapbook. And Megan Tudelo, I don't know where she... There she is! She's back there. She did the cover for this. It's called Big Fish, but it has a big duck on it. She can explain. But the duck, if you missed it last time it was in Pittsburgh, it's coming back in October. It's not the same duck. That duck that was in Pittsburgh blew up. My daughter cried. Okay. Tired. I'm barely afraid of spiders anymore. Adam. So, this is a book mostly about death. Former 90s supermodel Cindy Crawford says people shouldn't worry about aging. I have two jobs, two kids. I get 5 hours of sleep a night. True beauty is the energy you give out, Cindy Crawford says, and that comes through being happy. She says on the inside, souls don't age, and we are all who we were as children. Cindy Crawford sleeps at least 9 hours every night. She starts every day with a soak in her jacuzzi. She highly recommends a soak in a jacuzzi. You have to make time for you, Cindy Crawford says. I do not have a jacuzzi. I have an old shallow bathtub with bad caulking. It leaks. My hot water heater is about to go. Sometimes it spits out rusted yellow water and I pretend not to notice. When I'm bathing and my daughter comes in, she looks at the water and says, ew. She says, did you pee in the tub or what? Fuck you, Cindy Crawford. Relax, Cindy Crawford says. Just breathe and age from the inside out. Cindy Crawford is in the news again because of a photo shoot she did for Marie Claire France. According to Marie Claire France, none of the photos have been retouched. No airbrushing, no vats of baby oil, just one former supermodel and a camera. Cindy Crawford is, give or take, 48 years old, a mother. Marie Claire leaked one of the photos on my 51st birthday. Cindy is in a bikini and a long fur black coat draped like a shawl. She's wearing a huge hat, the kind crazy ladies from the Red Hat Society wear. Except this one's black and glamorous and shows off Cindy Crawford's trademark mole. Cindy Crawford has always been the thinking person supermodel because she could afford to have that mole removed, but didn't. Cindy Crawford is not shallow enough to worry over a cheek mole, which no doubt sprouts little dark hairs that Cindy Crawford has to keep on top of, tweezers at the ready, defense against paparazzi close-ups. Bodies betray us all like that. Cindy Crawford is careful and diligent, but in the photos, her legs are modeled. Stretch marks map her belly. There's a cesarean scar that runs like a fault line above her bikini bottom. Her skin tone is freckled, uneven. Most of the comments in the comments section are from women who thank Cindy Crawford for saving their lives. They call the photo inspirational, beautiful, badass, a testimony to how real women can age beautifully. Then there's Wayne Johnson of Minnesota, who writes, puking. There's George Stevens of Chicago, who writes, that can't be her body. There's Scott Smith of Saskatchewan, who says, I'd still do her. Like that might somehow be possible, Scott Smith of Saskatchewan. The photos of Cindy Crawford supposedly leaked from Marie Claire France turn out to be fakes, a reverse Photoshop hoax designed to make Cindy Crawford look ordinary. Who would do such a thing, Cindy Crawford's husband says. He releases family photos, Cindy on the beach with her kids, with her buttered skin, her toned stomach, hard and shimmering as sea glass. Fuck you, Cindy Crawford. Like most of America, I can't help but like Cindy Crawford. Cindy Crawford looks like my friend Lori Macho, vice versa. I love Lori Macho. Lori Macho has two kids and a job with long hours. Lori Macho has no jacuzzi. She gets sick a lot, stress, genetics. The last time Lori Macho got sick, the hospital called to do a follow-up. "I'm sorry to ask you this," the man on the phone said, "but at any point, did you die?" He said, "I really am sorry." He said, "I have to ask, it's on the form." He said, "It's a formality." He said, "Get it? Form? Formality?" He said, "Sorry." He said, "Probably not funny." He said, "I'm sure you understand." Lori Macho, who is Cindy Crawford without the mole, is 35, I think. Her death is a joke she tells me over wine. I'm pretty sure neither of us think it's funny. We have a lot of fun talking a sort of joke language, Hemingway explained to Lillian Ross when she wanted to know why he sounded like English was his second language. Hemingway told her, "It isn't hard to die." Thanks. Have you considered your audience? Reporters like to ask David Foster Wallace about his do-rag. They wanted to know if he wore it to appeal to younger readers. David Foster Wallace said his do-rag, which looked like an American flag, was more of a security blanket for his brain. Younger readers thought that was cool. That's true. "I'm turning 51, there I said it. But I don't want you to die," my daughter wails the night before my birthday. She is stalling and doesn't want to sleep. She knows worrying over her mother's mortality is one way to get a head rub, an extra juice box, the hall light on all night. Or maybe she really is afraid I'll die. Maybe she's afraid I'll drop over, which could happen, but I don't say that. Instead, I pound my chest like a gorilla and don't think of gorillas as an endangered species. When my daughter worries about me dying, she uses the same weepy tone she uses when she has a bad dream about Justin Bieber riding a unicorn. Justin Bieber riding a unicorn is, of course, terrifying. "No one can stop me," Justin Bieber says. Justin Bieber has a new groin tattoo. It says, "Forgive." The night before my birthday, my daughter's weeping over my impending death works. I rub her head, I bring her juice, even though juice rots her teeth. I read her a book in the dark. It doesn't matter that I can't see the pages. We've read this book many times. It's a meta book about two friends, an elephant and a pig, who discover they're characters in a book that's being read. Like all meta things, the book's a trick. At the end, the elephant and pig demand to be read again. They're afraid for the story to end. They want the story to never end. If the story ends, they wonder, what then? "Oh no," says the pig. "Oh no," says the elephant. There are many exclamation points. I read the book again. I read the book again. I read the book again. And I think of another book, this one a trick on kids instead of parents. It's called Go the Fuck to Sleep. My mother taught me not to talk about age. She lied about hers for years. "Nobody needs to poke a nose in your business," she'd say. I know age is sometimes a good thing to lie about. The same way around musicians, it's good to lie about the first concert you ever saw. I should say the Rolling Stones. I should say the Kinks or the Ramones. I've read Orwell. I know people curate their Facebook pages until their lives look less like lives and more like catalogs. The great thing about the internet is you can be whatever you tell people you are, one curator with a sexy avatar says. The curator is 40-something. She takes selfies, lying on her back like a baby, waiting for a diaper change. She props the camera between her feet and sucks in her cheeks and makes her eyes wide like she's about to pop. And maybe she is. All that pressure. My first concert was Sean Cassidy, the Duran Run. I was in third grade. My father took me. 106, my daughter repeats when I tell her how long I expect to live. I can see her doing the math in her head. "That's not so long," she says. And before she starts to cry, I pick up the Elephant and Pig book. I read it again. I read it again. You guys who aren't parents, Go the Fuck to Sleep is a real book. You should get it. It'll save your life. This is my last poem. One day when he was dying, my father got angry with me. I'd made a joke, something about how worrying about him was aging me. I pointed to the lines around my eyes. I plucked a few gray hairs and showed them to him. I was 34 years old. My father had cancer. He'd lost most of his hair. My father had beautiful hair, and losing it bothered him so much, he wore a blue knit cap to hide it that summer. His face was full of lines, nothing but worry. He said, "Everything's a joke to you." He said, "You idiot." He said, "What the hell's the matter with you?" I was my father's only daughter. I loved him so much I couldn't bear it. I said, "I'm joking." I said, "Relax already." When I was very young, I'd cry myself to sleep, imagining my father's death. Sometimes he'd hear me and come into my room and plug in a Donald Duck nightlight. Donald wore a blue hat. The paint on his eyes was peeling. My father thought I was afraid of the dark, but when I told him, he laughed and kissed my forehead. He said, "Don't worry, sweetheart, I'll be around." He said that again, right before he died. I wanted to believe him the way I believed him when he said he was too mean and stubborn to die. Yesterday, over macaroni and cheese at Boston Market, my 10-year-old daughter traded me her cornbread for more of my mac and cheese. Then she started weeping. "I don't want you to die," she said, though we hadn't been saying anything about that. She said, "I want you to live forever." I made a joke about how I could never die and leave behind such delicious mac and cheese. I made a big deal of stuffing my mouth full. Then I kissed my daughter hard and smudged cheese on her wet cheeks. I held my face to her long blonde hair. It smelled like sweat and honey and gravy, like everything that matters in this world, everything made of work and love and longing. "What the hell's the matter with you?" my father wanted to know. I should have said, "Everything. Everything's the matter."